Happy Sabbath, everyone. Hey, this works. Cool. I'm just looking for the cable. I'm still getting used to. Near the flowers. There it goes. Thank you, guys. Sorry about that. Okay. See if I can get this centered here. Beautiful. Okay. Like I was saying, happy Sabbath, everyone. How's everyone doing today? Good? It's another beautiful Sabbath, you know, in celebration also of Easter weekend. And I had an interesting week, and I was just kind of contemplating on everything. At least I know that my family should be here in about a couple of hours, 2 hours, 2 or 3 hours. So I'm excited about that, finally getting my family here. They said hello, by the way. And the move the other day, I think it was Wednesday. I want to thank all the gentlemen that came out and helped out, and you know, it was last minute, unfortunately, and they did such a great job. I didn't break my back like I thought I was going to break my back. They surprised me. There's some strong guys in this church, so thank you, strong men, for coming out and helping out. I've just been blessed this week. I definitely been blessed. I had some moments where I want to talk about this word today, and I think we all can identify with it. Okay. Discouragement. Not a nice word, huh? We all have been discouraged at times, right? And so before we dive into it, let's just have a word of prayer. I want to have a word of prayer so that the Lord can lead us today. Heavenly Father in heaven, I thank you so much. I always do, but I thank you at this particular moment because we understand that you love us so much. You sent Christ to die on the cross for us. You gave us the ultimate gift, and we can never, ever, ever repay you. We give you our wretched hearts. Forgive us for falling short of your glory. But now as we dive into this message that you have for us today, I pray, Father, that you use me in a special way, that as this message has reached me and my heart, I pray also that it may reach the hearts of everyone here today. We love you and we thank you. In the name of Jesus, amen. You know, we've all been discouraged. I think at one point in our lives, sometimes a little bit tougher than others, or situations that have come across in our lives where it seems as though we get out of one mess to get into another one. It seems as though we ask the question, why do these bad things continue to happen to me, right? And so we get discouraged a lot of times. You know, it seems as though sometimes a little bit of light starts to shine, and then one thing just happens after another. And so I really believe that discouragement is an opportunity knocking at our door. Knocking at your door. And so you're like, well, Pastor, how can that be? Well, let's go ahead. I want to take you through 5 sections here today, and it'll be very quick, I promise. We'll get on time. By the time your stomach starts growling, we'll be out of here. Discouragement. Discouragement. We're going to ask ourselves, what is discouragement? What is discouragement? Any insights from the pen of inspiration regarding discouragement? We're going to discuss a little bit about that. Who cares if you're dealing with discouragement? Who cares? That's pretty rude, right? And how about 5 must-do divine strategies to conquer discouragement, right? How can we conquer discouragement? And the other thing is, we're going to talk about the opportunities knocking at your door, our door, when we are experiencing discouragement. Now, I took you through the last couple sermons. Sermon number 1 was about intentionality, having an intentional relationship with God, being an intentional person in your Christian walk. The second one was about being resiliently extraordinary. He doesn't create junk. He creates us resiliently extraordinary. Like, we have special gifts, guys. We have special powers through Him. Amen? And then the other one was in pertaining to what? Does anybody remember? That's okay. I don't expect you to remember. But I did discover that we have a website, and there's a sermon thing there if you wanted to go over the sermon again. Well, today we're going to discuss about discouragement, okay? It is about discouragement. And so all of these things kind of go hand in hand, and it's the reason why I bring it up, because I believe that we're in every single day, there is something always thrown at us, whether because we're Christian, whether because we have our beliefs as far as Seventh-day Adventists, whether because you're trying to be a good person, you're trying to obey God, and so all these things are always thrown at us. We try to do good, and no matter how much good always comes about, there's always a part of us that falls short of the glory of God, and we end up not doing what we should do, but we end up doing what we don't want to do. Do you feel me? And so a lot of times we fall under that. We struggle. We have a big struggle. And so I really believe that discouragement a lot of times doesn't allow us to see what plan God has for our lives. It takes it away, sucks it up. So what is discouragement? Discouragement, just simply put, is a loss of confidence or enthusiasm. Okay, discouragement is a loss of confidence. What has taken your confidence in your Christian walk today? What has taken the enthusiasm that we should have of being Seventh-day Adventists in these last days? What has taken away that confidence and that enthusiasm? Well, we're going to discuss those things. What circumstances in life can cause us to be discouraged or have discouragement? What has taken our confidence and enthusiasm away? Well, number one, I really believe that challenges that we always face in our lives takes away discouragement. So, some of us look at challenges like a good thing, but sometimes too many challenges, too many obstacles in the way, it may seem discouraged. I remember when I first got to Lola's house, and they told me that they can climb the mountain, that we can climb the mountain, okay? I was so discouraged because I have bum knees and I'm a little bit out of shape, you know, and I was just like, man, I would love to be on top of that mountain, but look at all those rocks, look at all those trees. And then all of a sudden, someone showed me the way, and the challenge wasn't as big as although it took me a while, the challenge wasn't as big as I thought. Another thing that can happen is failures, guys. You know, we take the challenge, and what happens with the challenge? We fail miserably sometimes, you know, and so because of that, it can discourage us to get back on our feet and move forward, right? We face a challenge. I remember when I wanted to get in shape and I wanted to lose the weight, right? And that first week, I'm just hustling, bustling. I lose like 5 pounds. I'm like, yes. Then the second week, I lose 5 pounds. Yes. And then the third week and the fourth week, I'm like, well, then I must lose another 5 pounds. And then I gain 5 more. And I'm like, what happened here? I'm supposed to lose the weight, not gain it. Failures, guys. Challenges and failures discourage us a lot of times. What other things? Changes. We don't, you know, one thing about human beings is that we do not like, especially as you get older, we do not like changes. For some reason, we do not adapt well with changes, right? We like the same old thing over and over again. I don't know. This is the way that we are for whatever reason. And so when changes come at us, we get discouraged. We're like, I don't want to change what I've been doing for 20 years. You know, I don't want to move. I don't want to get up and move, you know. Or I don't want my job to change or whatever it is. And changes can discourage us as well. What else can discourage us? Struggles. Who likes to struggle here? Raise your hand. I don't think anybody likes to struggle. We do not like to struggle, my people. But let me tell you something. Struggling as well. I don't know if you've ever struggled financially in your lifetime, right? I think we've all been there. But, you know, you think, yo, man, I paid all my bills. I'm caught up with my debt. And then all of a sudden, boom, AC goes out. And you got to get in another debt to pay for your AC, you know. And it's just like, boom, your car goes out. And you're like, what? And you just seem like you're struggling all the time. Guys, this is real. This is real life, right? We've all experienced this. We've all struggled. Nobody likes to struggle. Nobody. What other things can discourage us? Emotions. If you're an emotional person like myself, we can also struggle. If your emotions get in the way, you know, whether you're happy or sad, or all those things can just come and overwhelm you, and your emotions can get you from what? From being undiscouraged, from being okay, and can continue moving forward. And so we get discouraged even from our own emotions. And this is real talk. I know that a lot of times I've seen it, especially in church. We're trying to move forward from things, but our emotions, we're just so emotional about the situation. And let me tell you something, an emotionally unhealthy church cannot go too far, my friends. We have to be emotionally also right, okay? And so we have to understand as a church, emotions also can discourage us. It could be very discouraging from moving forward. The next one is motivation. Again, motivation. One day I am, yes, let's go to the gym, let's do this, let's do that, and then the next day I'm like, I can't get up, I can't move, my back hurts, and so the motivation goes out the door. Sometimes it's just the way that we get up. We might just get up, you know, one day we're good to go, and the next day is like, I don't even want to go to work, I don't want to live, I don't want to do anything, leave me alone, and we put the blanket over our face, and we just don't want to do anything. Guys, motivation is big when it comes to discouragement. And another one is uncertainty, right? Who knows here tomorrow that you are going to be alive? Does anybody know here that they're going to be alive tomorrow? Anybody? No, we don't know. There's uncertainty. We don't know if we walk through those doors, if all of a sudden, you know, a bald eagle comes and, I don't know, knocks us beside the head, then we're just dead. You know, I don't know. I'm just saying that because I just saw a bald eagle today. It was the most beautiful thing in the world. But then I was thinking, what if that bald eagle takes my dog? You know, it's just uncertainty, right? He can probably carry my dog. I saw him carry a big fish. So I was like, whoa, unbelievable. But that's the life that we live in. We live in uncertainty. And not being certain of certain things in life, you know, again, discourages us. Tiredness definitely discourages us. We're just tired of the same old thing, or sometimes we're tired of just life and just struggling and all these other things, challenges and struggles and emotions. We're just tired of ourselves. Sometimes we get tired of ourselves, right? I just like, I can't no more. I don't know who I am. I'm lost. And so we feel discouraged. And then the last one, it actually encompasses every single one of those, and it is fear. We have fear, and a lot of times because of fear, my friends, fear of, you know, going through the challenges, going through the failures, the changes, the struggles, the emotions, the motivation, the fear of uncertainty, the tiredness, we just say, ah, I can't do that. I'm afraid of doing that. I know it's going to be this. I know it's going to be that. And so we just automatically give up. We just feel this whole discouragement, like we don't want to continue moving forward because we're just afraid. And I know that we've all experienced fear in our lives at one point or another. And so because of that, those are the circumstances in life where we can have discouragement. So what does the pen of inspiration say about discouragement? Look what she says here. This is very important, especially as a church. It says, we are too quickly, what? Discouraged and earnestly cry for the trial to be removed from us. How many of us do that? How many of us, when we're like discouraged, when there's a challenge or when there's something really big, and we're like, oh Lord, like please take this off of me, you know, like I can't take it, please. I think we've all been there, right? It's just like it's overwhelming sometimes, and we just ask the Lord, take this from me. And it says, and she says this, we should plead for patience to endure grace to overcome. Guys, we should be doing the opposite. We should plead for patience to endure this when it comes to being discouraged. Now, this one you can't see. I do apologize, but I'll read it to you. It says, some look always at the objectionable and discouraging features, and therefore discouragement overtakes them. They forget that the heavenly universe is waiting to make them agencies of blessing to the world. Listen to this. You are made to be agencies of blessings to the world when everything seems to be falling apart. When discouragement is at its finest in your life, when it's just like you just feel so undeserving or you feel so down. Actually, she says here that we forget so easily that the heavenly universe is waiting to make us agencies of blessing to the world. In your pain, in your suffering, remember we were talking about that last week with Ariel, in your pain and in your suffering, you are to be a blessing to the world. God is just waiting for something for you to look up to. It says, and the Lord Jesus is never failing storehouse from which human beings may draw strength and courage. So when you have discouragement, where are we supposed to draw our strength and our courage? From Jesus. From Jesus. Amen. Thank you for that. Amen. Hallelujah. It says here, there is no need for despondency and apprehension. The time will never come when the shadow of Satan will not be cast athwart our pathway. Meaning that Satan will do anything to throw his shadow of disparity to make sure that you don't see no light at the end of the tunnel. That's what he wants. That's what he wants to get you at. You know, when I was very young, 20s, but when I was young, 20 years ago, I found myself in a very dark place in my life. Things weren't going right. I was very discouraged. The only remedy that I felt, that was going to help me to get over my discouragement was to take my life. And I remember that I was waiting for everybody to leave the house. And I already had made the decision. That day, my wife, she took my two kids at the time, and she left. My in-laws left with her. My brother-in-law didn't come back. I had all my in-laws living with me at the time. I had a big house, and so it was a blessing and a curse at the same time. I love my in-laws. They're great people. But at that moment, I just wanted to be alone. I was so discouraged with life. Everything that I did at that moment, like, it wasn't good enough. I felt like my wife felt like our connection wasn't there. And so everything that I did that I thought I was doing right, it was actually wrong to her. And I had no one. My friends had abandoned me. And not because of, they haven't abandoned me on purpose. It was just that moment in my life where I was going through just these trials over and over again. I had a baby that was not born healthy. I had another son coming up. I had two jobs. I was trying to start a business. I mean, it was just so many things. And it just seemed like one thing after another, you know, just having problems here and there and just internal problems. And I just say, you know what? I called my life insurance company. They said that they would, I made sure that they would pay my life insurance policy. And I said, well, at least you'll have some money to pay off the house. And I made sure everything was good. And I was decided to take my life away. As I go down the stairs, there was this rope that I really wanted to use. It was a bright yellow rope because I knew that rope wouldn't break. And I went downstairs to go get the rope. And so I go to the basement, come back up the stairs with a rope. And as I'm about to go up to my bedroom, all of a sudden this song plays on my computer out of nowhere. Now my computer is hooked up to, I used to do a little bit of DJing for my friends. So it was hooked up to my big speakers. So it didn't turn on like softly. It just, when it turned on very loudly. So it startled me. It like jerked me, you know? You know when you get startled, whoa. And the song that came on was a song that back then that was very instrumental. It wasn't in English. It was actually in Spanish. It's called Levanto Mis Manos. It says, I will hold up my hands. In English, the translation is, I will hold up my hands. And is referring to Moses when he held up his hands and he had prayed. And so as I hear that song and it's playing, Levanto mis manos, and it talks about, I raise my hands up, even if I have a million problems, I will lift up my hands. Kind of like the one from Casting Crowns. And so I was so struck by the song and the fact that it would play at that particular moment as I was about to take my life away. And so I had no choice but to fall on my knees and pray and lift up my hands. And I'm just bawling in tears. It was enough time to then all of a sudden my brother-in-law walked in and he says, bro, what are you doing? And, you know, I'm wiping the tears away. I didn't want him to see me cry. I wiped my tears away. And I'm like, no, I'm good. I'm good. And nothing. And he's like, what you doing with that rope? Nothing. I was going to hang something up. And he's like, okay. Why do you have the music so loud? Because he could hear outside. I didn't know he was outside the whole time. And he was like, why do you have the music so loud? I could hear it outside. And I was like, I don't know. And the crazy thing was that night, I decided not to take my life away. And I surrendered my life to Christ. You see, God has a plan for each and one of us. It doesn't matter what we feel, what we are going through at the moment. He just wants us to surrender ourselves to Him. He will give us the strength and courage to persevere at the right time. And so I really believe that Ellen White here is telling us that Satan will try to cast out dark clouds over your mind saying, listen, you can't no more. You can't take it no more. You might as well give up. Listen, no one's listening to you. And no one really cares what you think. And you know what? Forget it. The person that loves you the most, they don't really love you. Look how they treat you. Look how they look at you. You know what? And if it's better, you're better off dead than alive. And that's what Satan wants. He wants to throw the deepest, the darkest cloud in your life. And so, who cares about our discouragement? Well, the reality is that God cares about your discouragement. Amen? We have a God that is an intimate God, a God that wants a relationship with you. And it means so much to Him that He sent His only begotten Son. And so, Joshua, chapter 1, verse 9 says, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid. Why not? Why we should not be afraid? Why we shouldn't be discouraged? It says here, he says, for the Lord your God will be what? With you wherever you go. That day when I decided to take my life and I thought that I had everything planned out, He had a bigger plan for my life. He has a bigger plan for your life. And so, God cares when we are discouraged. And so, His answer to us is, I am with you, so you don't have to be alone in the moment of your discouragement. Listen, God wants to be there when there's the good days, and also when there's the bad days. That's the God that we serve. It doesn't matter what we're going through, and we have to come to, you know, a lot of times we come to church and we put on the smile, we put on the nice clothes, and no one knows what we're going through, right? No one knows what we're going through. No one knows the pain, the loneliness, the discouragement in our hearts. But guess what? God knows. And He cares about that. He cares about that deeply. So much that He sent His Son for you and me. And so, yes, we have a God that cares. As a matter of fact, one of the questions that someone had asked me one time, did Jesus experience discouragement while He was here on earth? And I believe He did. Over and over again. But did that stop Him from doing the God's will in His life? Did that stop Him from continuing moving forward? I mean, I can only think about the day that He was there in Gethsemane and he was just urging His friends, hey man, just pray for me. I need some strength. I need to get through this. Pray for me. Just pray. How many times do we tell people, hey, I'll pray for you? And we don't do it. How many times do we do that? Yeah, man, I'll pray for you, bro. I'll pray for you, sister. No problem. You know? And like, we'll try to save it for later, you know? I'll pray tonight for that person. And then we what? We forget. We don't even pray that night. Imagine Jesus experiencing that right there. His buddies are right there. He's just not too far away. And as he looks over, he's like, are they sleeping? They couldn't even just pray for me for like 5 minutes, 2 minutes. Like, really? Imagine Jesus being discouraged when he comes from just receiving, right? He was at the mountain with James and Peter and John, and they're coming down, and then this boy is casted in front of him, and the father's like, hey, please take care of my son. You know, can you heal him? And then what happens? What happens at a particular moment? This is the moment where Jesus says, really? I mean, you couldn't even take care of this, guys? Talking to the disciples. How long am I going to be with you? And I'm paraphrasing. But you guys can imagine the talk. How long am I going to be with you, wretched people? Oh, my goodness. Why? Because they were so caught up with themselves that they couldn't even, and they were filled with so much jealousy and whatever, that they couldn't even do God's work. They couldn't do the work that Jesus had left them to do. And so, yes, Jesus was discouraged over and over again, but it never stopped him from doing God's will. It never stopped him from having a relationship with the Father, because the Father was always with him. Amen? So is there a practical solution? Is there a practical solution to this? I really believe that there is. Just like they're trying to find a vaccine and a practical solution for, you know, for our COVID situation and cancer and everything else. There are things that God has given us, has instructed us, that we can do to, when we fall in discouragement, that we can get out of that discouragement. Amen? So we're going to go through those really quick. The first one is, five-step divine strategy to conquer discouragement. The first one is, remembering God. That was the other sermon that I was, actually, Zakar. Remembering God and his kept promises. Okay, that's number one. Remember God and his kept promises. Why his kept promises? Because there's a reason why you're here today. God must have showed up somewhere in your life, somewhere in my life, right? He must have showed up somewhere, and it's the reason why you continue to come here, unless you just want, like, to just hang out in church. I mean, you could be somewhere else today, fishing, you could be doing something else, right? Watching TV or something. But today you are here because what? God showed up. He kept his promise. Sooner or later, he came through for you and I. Amen? And so that's why we're here today. And it shouldn't be only today. It should be every day, right? But today is particular because we remember what he has done for us. That's why the Sabbath says, remember the Sabbath. Well, it's really remember God. Amen? Trust in God. Trust in God. So I put there Joshua 1. Which the name of Joshua means what? The Lord is my salvation. Joshua just came up as the general or the leader of the Israelites, right? Moses had passed away. And in Joshua 1, God calls out Joshua. I can imagine that this must be a pivotal moment in Joshua's life, because now he gets to take care of this nation, about 1 million people. I don't know about you, but I would be nervous. I would be terrified. Let alone, I'm responsible for 130 people from the church, all right? Books were 190. I haven't looked at the total numbers yet. But I'm, to a certain extent, I'm responsible for you. And I take that seriously. So imagine someone who is in a greater, has a responsibility of a greater capacity. I mean, almost impossible. He's the sole leader of these people. Spiritually, let's just say holistically, spiritually, mentally, physically. He is responsible for these individuals, and not just any type of individuals. These are God's children. I would be terrified being Joshua. I would think, I'm too young for this. I can't flip the bill. I can't take care of, I mean, me? I'm not adequate for the job. But I love the Lord, because when we feel inadequate, he is adequate, right? When we feel down, he lifts us up, and he comes to Joshua, right? And he gives him a command. Do you guys know what the command is? The command is to have what? Courage, right? To have courage to move forward. And so he sets a tone. He says, look, I have kept my promise with Moses, and I will keep my promise with you, that wherever you go, I will also go. That the lands that I promised you, I will also give you. I don't know what promises God has given to you, but I know that he will fulfill his promises. And so he's telling him this. So the second step, my friends, is to trust in God. And that is sometimes very hard to do, because when things look bleak, when you can't walk, when your body is motionless, when you feel like you have to throw up again, or you're sick to your stomach, when it feels like you can't stop itching, you can't stop, you don't sleep at night, and you're frustrated, and you're tossing and turning, when it's not too hot, it's too cold, and it's vice versa, and you can't no more. How do you trust in a God when your body's telling you something completely different, when your mind just keeps running over and over the same problem over and over again? How do you trust in a God? Well, you have to remember. You have to remember that he has promises for you. The next step is obey. I know that's the hardest part. That's like the hardest part, because you have to trust and then you have to obey. Okay? Obeying is simply just that, obey. And so when he talks to Joshua here, he's like, listen. Actually, let's go there, because I don't want to give you too much PowerPoint here. Let's go to our Bibles. Go to Joshua. Let's go to Joshua real quick. And we're almost done, so don't worry here. Let's go to Joshua real quick. All right. Look what it says here in verse 9. Let's start with verse 9. It says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and what? Courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So Joshua, I'm sorry, let's go a little bit ahead of that. I got ahead of myself. Verse 7, be strong and be courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. What does it say there? Obey some of the laws? No, it says all the law that my servant Moses gave you. And look what he says here. He says, do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that ye may be what? What did you say? Prosperous? Anybody has another version? Mine says successful. Successful. In obedience, what will happen? You will receive the blessing of being successful, prosperous. I don't know. I mean, that's what the Bible says here. That's what the Word of God says here. It says, look what he continues saying. He says here, verse 8, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. And then, Joshua, and then, Doug, and then you will what? Then you will be prosperous and successful. Then, Brewster Church, you will be prosperous and successful. You see, my friends, here is the key that I'm trying to show to you today that I learned in my life as I met moments of this, had this moments of discouragement to the point of taking my own life. This is what allowed me to remember and to trust in God and to obey him, learn to obey him so that I could be prosperous and successful. Now, the prosperous and successful here is not that you're going to make $1 million and on all that stuff, you know, that the material stuff. That comes afterwards. The prosperous and successful here is the peace that you get knowing that God is with you. And that no matter what comes to you face to face, no matter what obstacle comes, you know that you're going to go through the valley of shadow of death because God is with you. You get it? Like David said the same thing. That this is coming. This is the mentality of the Israelites. They knew that God was with them. And so we also have that ability to know that God is with us. And that's why we obey him. And the last part here is because when he says that it should be always in your lips, this is talking about the consistency. We have to be consistent, my friends. I have a a little situation where when I was back in Hawaii, I got into the ocean, and a wave caught me, and it dragged me bottom of the ocean, and it messed up my face. I have a scar on my nose, ugly scar, right? And it just bothers me because right in the middle, it's like you just like right, you take off my glasses right in the middle, and I hate it. I dislike it. Nobody likes scars, right? Who likes scars here? Unless it's a cool scar or something, but I don't know. I just don't like scars. And so especially when they're right in the middle of my face, like every time I look at my eyes, you know, I don't have to go like this. It's just like right there. And I had some friends that they know about skin and all that stuff. And I said, hey, what's the best thing for scars? And she go, well, you know, try aloe and all this. But she says, you got to be consistent. Because if you're not consistent, then it's not going to work. Right? And I was like, okay, so, you know, being consistent. And so consistency is very important even in the Christian walk, my friends. It's not just in the material realm and all that. It's also in your spiritual walk with God. You have to be consistent. You know, if you prayed and God answered your prayer, then you know that you can trust in Him, and then you know you need to obey Him. So your consistency has to show always that when you have a problem, the first person, the first thing that you come to, okay, even before you have a problem, but when you get a problem, the first person that you confide in is not your wife, is not, I mean, that's okay if it's one of those big ones, but I'm saying it's not your wife, it's not your mom, it's not your dad. It is God, my friends. God is the first one that we come to, okay? And then you can open up doors to talk to others, but it is God. God is the one that you need to talk to first. And so there has to be a consistency there, you know, to trust, obey, and to live out the promises that He has for us. The other thing is, and this is the last one, what other opportunities knock? Oh, I'm sorry. Let's go back. I skipped here one. Okay. The fifth step, and it's the last one, is Isaiah 40:29. He says, He gives us strength to the weary, and what? And He gives power to the weak. Okay. So a lot of times what we try to do is, the consistency, we see that we're doing okay, and then we think that we got the power. And in reality, we don't have the power. The power comes from whom? It comes from God. It comes from God. He gives us the strength to persevere. He gives us the power to continue moving forward. And so we have to constantly be in meditation and in prayer. Okay, why do we need to be constantly in meditation and prayer? Because the devil is like a lion out there ready to devour us. He uses the people that we love the most to get on our nerves, to get me on my last nerves, to not be able to move forward. He uses the person that I love the most, my kids, to drive me crazy, right? I mean, it just happens. That's the way the devil is. He knows where it hurts. He knows where we're weak. And so constantly, we have to be in constant meditation and prayer. Hence, that's why the Lord tells them that this law should always be in your lips, right? And that you should meditate in it. Not the meditate, right? No, this is about meditate, meaning thinking about how this word is significant in your life, applying it, our application. And in prayer, because we know that we fall short of God's glory. And so we need to be constantly in prayer, knowing that at any time we can be devoured and taken away. Now, what are the opportunities knocking? Sorry, that's so small. What are the opportunities knocking at our door when we are experiencing discouragement? What are the opportunities? Check this out. I give you five opportunities that you have. When I say opportunities, meaning how can we overcome, and not only overcome, but what do we get out of this? What is the end result? Okay. Well, number one, the weight is not on you. The weight is not on you. That's number one. When you feel that burden, when you feel that discouragement of not being able to move forward, the weight is not on you. What does Matthew 11:28-30 say? Let's go to Matthew 11:28-30. What does that say? It's a very common verse, but I want you guys to see it, because they say that if you see it, then you're able to remember it a little bit better. Amen? Matthew 11:28-30. Look what it says here. Look what Jesus says here. I don't say this. This is what Jesus says. He said, come to me, all you that are what? Weary and burdened. All you that are discouraged, come to me. Ven aquí. Come to me. Okay? Vente. It says, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Remember when we talked about remembering God, how David says that when I go to bed, I can go to sleep because I know that what? That you have. Remember, he gives you that rest that you need. Yes, this is what Jesus is saying. He's confirming that. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So the first thing here, he's telling us, listen, I'll take care of your problem. But you got to give it, you got to surrender it to me. The weight is not on us, it's on God now. The next one is, your trials works to your benefit. Your trial works towards your benefit. And you're like, well, how does my trial is going to help me? How does my trial work to my benefit? Well, let's go to James. What does James say? Go to James chapter 1, verse 3. James chapter 1, verse 3, look what it says here. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces what? Patience. In other languages, it says perseverance. So your trial produces what? Perseverance. It increases your what? Your faith. And then you can persevere whatever comes at you. Amen. The third one is God finishes everything he starts. God finishes everything he starts. You think you're wretched? Well, wait until God finishes with you. Amen. What does Philippians 1:6 say? This is a pretty popular verse. If anybody has, they can read it first. Philippians 1:6. What does this state? If not, I'll go ahead and read it. All right. Yes, that good work that he started in you, he what? He will finish it. Through whom? Through Jesus Christ. The day that Jesus... That's another thing that I wanted actually to highlight here. Look what it says here. It doesn't say that he'll finish in one day, right? It is a process. God works processes. He loves processes. If he didn't love processes, he would have created the world in 1 minute, okay? But it was a process. He took his time. Guess what he does with us too? He takes his time. He knows that we're going to struggle. He knows that we're going to be a little bit discouraged. But he wants you to see the light. He wants you to know that what he starts, he will finish in you. Amen? All the way until when Jesus comes. Wow. It says the day of the Lord. The day of Jesus Christ. And last but least, you will share in God's true happiness. This one really got to me because sometimes we think we know what happiness is. I experienced it plenty of times. When I got the keys to my first house, I was like so happy. You know, it was a good moment. When I got the keys to my first BMW, that was a nice moment for me too. When I got the keys to when I got my job, the keys to my office, you know, and I moved up in at work, and those were happy moments. But guess what happened in my life, my friends? Why I'm here today. All that stuff, I lost. Gone. I lost my house. I lost my car. I lost, and when I say lost, it's not like I can't find it. Okay, I'm talking about like I no longer own it, okay, or have it in my possession. All right? And so I don't have any of that. And I learned a big lesson that those things do not give me happiness. They can give you momentary happiness, just like going on a cruise or going to a vacation. But when you come back, you have to face reality. You have to face the real problems of life, okay? And so my true happiness is not dependent on the things that I have and the people that I know. And no, that's not where my true happiness lies. It lies in God's true happiness. Matthew 25, 21. You guys probably know this story, but I'm going to use it to express what God really feels here for us. Look what it says in Matthew 25, 21. He He says as follows, his master replied, this is a parable. His master replied, well done and good and faithful servant. This is God speaking to us, my friends. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. God delights when we trust, when we remember him. He delights when we trust in him. He's happy when we also are obeying him. He's also happy when we're consistent with him. He's also happy when we are continually meditating and also praying with him. And so this right here is the opportunities that we have knocking at our doors, where the fulfillment of true happiness is found in God and nothing else. And when you understand that, when we understand that, okay, as we're in this journey all together, we're all on this journey, same journey. Some of us are ahead, some of us are a little back, some of us are in the middle, but we're all in the same journey. I want to get to heaven. I don't know about you, but I want to get to heaven. Amen? That's what this is all about. But I don't want to be selfish. I want everyone to get to heaven, right? I want everyone that wants to get to heaven to get there. But we need to understand that there is a method, actually, in which, not to get to heaven, because that God gives you the minute that you accept Jesus Christ, you're promised all these things. But we want to keep focus on heaven. We want to keep focus on the eyes of the prize, because in heaven, it's not about the roads that are made of gold or the pearly gates. No, it's not about that. And this is on the next sermon called Alleluia. What it is about is about being able to be in the presence of my Savior. Being able to see his hands and the sacrifice that he did for me. Being able to be there and praise him and sing hallelujah. I don't know if I'm going to dance around him. I don't know if I'm going to shout. I don't know what these emotions are going to bring, but I know that it's true happiness. Happiness that lasts forever and ever. And he'll say, here you are, my faithful servant. Here are the patience of the saints, those that keepeth my commandments. And the testimony of Jesus Christ, the faith of Jesus Christ. And I'll be there, and I'll for sure, we'll be praising him over and over again, and that's our true happiness. But you know what, my friends? That happiness doesn't happen in heaven. It's not like when Jesus is going to come, and he just takes a wand, and bloop, and you're changed. No, that happiness starts here first. You have to have that burning desire for God's word. You have to have that burning desire for change in your life. And knowing that God is the one that transforms you. It's a process. It's gonna hurt. There are things that, there's things that you remember that they've done to you, and you have to eliminate that. You have to forgive. You have to move forward. And it's gonna, every single day, you have to die self to reach to Jesus. And so when Jesus comes, you want to spend an eternity with the Savior of your soul. Amen? If that is your desire today, I ask you to stand with me as we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you knowing that you're so awesome. You're unbelievably loving and caring and compassionate with each and one of us. You're so patient. Oh, Lord, thank you for being patient with this wretched soul. I'm so sorry, man. I mess up so many times. We all do, Father, but Father, you've called us. You called us to come out of this discouragement that the world wants to cast upon us. The fears, the challenges, the obstacles, the things that seem impossible. For you, Father, nothing's impossible. You're willing to give us the power and the strength to continue moving forward, no matter what is thrown at us. Father, I have brave souls here today that are standing up because they want to have that courage. They want to overcome their fears. They want to see the light as well as I do, Father. And so we come to you today. And the day in which we celebrate the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we come to you to ask us to resurrect our lives, to resurrect us, to Put a fire in us, Father. Put a fire in our soul that we may never forget the wonderful things you've done for us and the things that you've gotten us out of, that we may learn to trust in you completely and that we learn to obey your word, your law, and that we may be consistent with it, Father, so that when we go to heaven, we don't get bored. It's something that is automatically in us to praise you and to honor you always and always. That we may always be connected to you, the source of life, the bread of life. Thank you, Father, for all the wonderful things that you do for us. Forgive us for doubting, for the wrong things. But now we see, Father, that you love us. You love us so much that you want to share your happiness with us. And so we just ask you to continue to manifest your life, yourself in our lives. Reveal yourself to us. May we be ready for that when you reveal yourself to us, Father. We love you and we thank you. And we can't wait to see you. We pray for all these things. In the most powerful name in the universe, in the name of Jesus Christ and Him alone, we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Let us stay standing for our closing hymn. Jesus saves. Amen. Parting, Father, I just pray that you continue to be with us wherever we go. We love you and we thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Carol Stevens wanted me to...